would like to remind all participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's RIA sub-team B call on Monday, the 17th of May, we have Steve Metalitz, Tatiana Kromtsova, Steva Mutashami, Holly Rage.
Execution, Mr. Phil Corwin joins.
Avery Doria, Staten Hammock, Phil Corwin. From staff, we have Glinda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, Marika Konings, myself, Gisela Gruber-White, Cheryl Langdon Orr, and Heidi Ulrich will be joining us shortly. We've got apologies from Michaela Nalon, Christina Rosette, and David Geezer. But please remind everyone to state the names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. I apologize that I didn't circulate an agenda in advance, but I think at least some of the agenda items are pretty clear. First is to see if we can come to final approval of the initial draft report sections 1 through 5. The second item would be to talk about, excuse me, 1 through 4. The second item would be to talk about section 5 of the draft report, which is the next steps for portion, the we had been calling task 3. The third agenda item would be just to talk about how we logistically finalize this report and get it filed. The fourth issue is any new news on our preparations for Brussels for our event there, and there's been some back and forth, I guess, about when it will be, and so just to share any information about that. So those are four agenda items that that I have: the initial draft report, sections 1 through 4, section 5, finalization of the report, and Brussels preparations. Are there other agenda items that people would like to add? Okay. I'm not sure. I know we have a number of new people in the room and hopefully on the call as well. Tim Ruiz, Liz Gaster, Mark Trachtenberg, and there may be others that I've missed. But anyway, welcome everyone, and I've just run through the agenda or proposed agenda, and if people have any other agenda items, please speak up now or when we get to the end of the agenda. The first order of business is the initial draft report, sections 1 through 4. Margie from the staff had circulated the latest version was circulated Friday afternoon Eastern time. I hope everyone's had a chance to look at that. Staten had made some edits. I made some, accepted a lot of his changes, made some additional edits. I think Christina had a few edits. I think Margie has put this, I think, pretty near to final, unless there are problems that people want to raise. I haven't really looked at the parts dealing with sub-team A. I'm assuming that sub-team is reviewing that, I don't think there's any. I'm not sure there's any place for input from us. But let me just ask if people having had a chance to review Margie's draft, do you have any questions or comments or proposed edits to that draft? For sections 1 through 4, we'll talk about section 5 separately. Margie, I think you wanted to be recognized. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Margie. I just wanted to point out that pretty much all I did was make the changes that the sub-team A requested related to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter, and then I incorporated the comments that Christina had set out, because I think she provided comments after the version that you sent out, Steve. So that's pretty much all I did in this document.
Okay, thank you. Are there any comments or questions about this draft? Well, let me ask, are people comfortable with moving ahead with this as our final version of the initial report, ready to to go forward as far as this part of it goes to the council. Holly, I think, has her hand up. Staten has his. Anybody else? Holly, go ahead.
At this stage, look, sections 1 through 4, I'm happy with. I mean, I think we can, if people want, we can go through it because it's on the Adobe Connect screen,
right.
But I'm reasonably happy with it.
Okay. Thank you. Staten?
Yeah, I think it's in pretty good shape, 1 through 4, but I haven't read through all of the latest round of changes, so just reserving, right to comment again here in the next day or so if there's any other further tweaks. But other than that, I think it looks pretty good.
That sounds reasonable. Can I take it that there's a motion that we would approve this subject to people in the next 36 hours, any glitches that they find in sections 1 through 4, they would circulate those to the list. Otherwise, we can consider it final. Is there any objection to that approach? If not, I'll assume that that's consent and that we have consensus on that text, again, subject to people between now and the next 36 hours finding any glitches that we might have missed. Thank you. The part that we're not... it's not so easy to resolve, I suppose, is Section 5. We have two versions of Section 5. One, I think the one that's in Margie's draft is actually the one that Staten put forward, if I'm not mistaken. And then there was one that was preceded by one that I think I had put forward. And we had a fair amount of discussion about this on the last call, and we obviously did not come to agreement on it. There was some talk, there were several people who said they hoped that there could be a middle ground found, mm-hmm. and people were invited to continue that conversation on the list. I don't think there was any substantive discussion of that on the list. But let me open the floor now to comments on the two versions we have of this. It's really Section 5.2. I think 5.1 is just kind of a pretty much a lead-in. 5.2 is recommended next steps, and that's where we have a disagreement, basically over the issue of whether there would be observers in the negotiation process in our recommendation. So I'll open the floor to any comments on that topic or how we should proceed on Section 5. Holly has her hand up. Did anybody else want to be recognized? And if you're not on Adobe, just speak up, and we'll get you in the queue. Okay, Holly, go ahead.
I think what I want, I could possibly accept that we're not in the negotiating room as long as there is a process where all parties are sitting around a table listening to each other, and it's unlike, say, the at-large community or the community generally, the registrants, just put in comments and then they get lost, to actually have a dialogue as to why things are or are not possible. And I think the critical bit is that there has to be a dialogue with all parties that's real, where people listen to each other, and if something's not possible, well, it's not possible, we can hear that. But if what happens is, at the end of the day, after a discussion, then the doors close and there's no dialogue and no understanding of why something is or isn't rejected, I think it's the critical bit as to whether there's actually genuine two-way communication or not. Now, if we can devise a process that says, at large, will be listened to and will actually get answers as to why something doesn't happen or does or happens in another way, I think we'd be happy, but I don't see that kind of process in what the registrars want, and I think that is going to be the sticking point.
Thank you, Holly. Avery is next in the queue. Did anybody else want to get in this queue? If not, Aubrey, please go ahead.
At first, apologies that I haven't been here for many meetings. I've sort of been following in the background. Didn't really realize I was part of the group as sort of a leftover from the past. But in any case, I think I'd want to make a similar statement to Holly, but a whole lot stronger. I don't believe that there's any way that the non-commercial stakeholder group could accept not being in the room and not being there as active observers. And by active observers, I mean people that can speak and contribute and participate. Now, we may not do it a lot, but that has to be open to people. Certainly, at the end of the day, the registrars are going to be the ones that have to agree to those things that aren't, strictly speaking, consensus policy. But to take this into the shadows in the dark is just something I can't see working. I certainly agree with what Holly said about, you know, those who aren't in the room for choice or because some limitation is decided on in coming to a compromise on how many people get to observe, that comments have to be dealt with in the new style of comments, which is there's a comment, there's a serious discussion of it, there's a written-up explanation of why that comment was taken in whatever way it was taken. So I certainly agree with that, but I do believe that every one of the stakeholder groups and the cross-community that wants to have an observer, a participating observer in that room has to have one. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. Let me ask if there's any other comments on this.
This is Mark Trachtenberg.
Mark, okay, go ahead.
I mean, I agree with the two past comments, especially the second one. I mean, I think it's kind of, I know, arrogant and not really realistic for registrars to expect that no one else is going to be, you know, in the room for these conversations and discussions. You know, yes, ultimately the registrars have to agree to it, but, you know, whatever is agreed to affects the entire internet community. So, you know, I don't think it's fair or realistic for the registrars to act like no one else has a pony in this race. I think, you know, other people need to be there. And as far as, you know, I'd really stop calling them observers and say that the other stakeholder groups should be participants. Because, you know, we're trying to say observers who have some ability to participate and do something, but, you know, really that's participants, not observers. And, you know, all the people who are going to be affected by what the ultimate outcome is should have, you know, the opportunity to participate and say something in that process.
Thank you, Mark. I have Staten and Tim in the queue. Did anybody else wish to get in the queue at this point? Okay, Staten, go ahead, and then Tim.
I'm sorry I missed the last meeting, but I'm sure, you know, Tim mentioned or that there's the contract is only between two parties, the registrars and ICANN. What I tried to do in my proposal or on my edits to the proposal is reflect that we would not be we would be reporting out to other stakeholder groups and so that they would understand what some of the thinking was or what was being discussed, but having them in the room while the two parties to a contract are negotiating is just something that's not acceptable to the registrars.
Thank you, Staten. Tim, go ahead. First, let me just ask if there's anybody else that wanted to be in the queue right now. Okay, Tim, go ahead. And then Aubrey.
I just wanted to, you know, we were sounding like a broken record, but, you know, again, when registrars signed their RAA, they took on the risk, is the way we viewed it, that there was this broad spectrum of areas within which, you know, consensus policy could be formed. And if it was that we had to agree up front, whatever that was, without knowing, that we would abide by it and implement it and abide by it. That's a pretty significant undertaking for any business. Not many even undertake a business venture with that idea in mind right up front. And the rest of the agreement is an agreement between the registrar and ICANN that's not open to consensus policy. So, you know, for those areas where consensus policy comes into play, sure, you know, the whole community is in the room. The whole community gets involved. And it's a consensus thing, and it doesn't matter if there's consensus in the community and the registrars don't necessarily agree, it still becomes policy. What we're saying is, and for those aspects that are not covered by consensus policy, that's what we're talking about negotiating one-on-one with ICANN, the other party to our contract. And yet we're even agreeing to open that up. We've opened it up to this process to where we get, you know, a better feeling for what the community wants, give them more of an opportunity to really provide some input into the process, and to be continually updated as the process goes forward, and to try to, you know, codify that to some degree so that it's more formal than what it was last time, which was, you know, the community felt was pretty, the information going on behind the closed doors was pretty scant. There wasn't a lot of communication, and they didn't feel like they had an opportunity to provide a lot of feedback. That's what we were trying to do here. But, you know, registrar's view is that, you know, inviting other parties into the negotiating room with ICANN is just not an option. And I think, you know, this, I fully expect the report will probably go to the council with, you know, the group's view that they should participate in that as being, like you said, Steve, strong consensus or whatever, with significant disagreements or opposition to that being voiced by registrars, and I don't know if any others or not. So I realize that that's likely the outcome here. So I don't know how much longer we want to debate it. But I just want to be sure it's clear that, you know, I mean, from the registrar's point of view, it isn't going to matter what comes out or what the council does or doesn't approve, because this is not a consensus issue. This is agreement between two parties, and as far as registrars are concerned, it's negotiations behind closed doors. So all I wanted to do is put out there that potential that, you know, whatever recommendation gets made here, ends up being ignored, and we end up back in the same process we had last time. That's my fear. We have an opportunity here to make it better, and I would hope that that's the direction in which we can go.
Okay, thank you, Tim. I think I had Avery next, and let me ask us to make sure. I'm not sure everybody is in the Adobe room who's on the call and vice versa, but does anybody else want to be in the queue after Avery? Margie? And we'll build the queue from there if need be. Avery and then Margie.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Tim. I mean, I take the threats quite seriously. I'd like to point out, though, that I think there's a recognition that there are two different processes here. There are the things that are under consensus process, and those will go through that. Now, on the other things, you say our negotiation is with ICANN. And I'll grant you that there's only the operational part of ICANN that you sign an agreement with. However, ICANN is both that operational, formal corporate side of ICANN, but it is also the transparent and accountable side of ICANN that is the rest of us, that is the participants. Now, one of the reasons I called it observer that spoke and not participant, so to explain the differentiation in language, is that I understand that at the end of the day, it is the operational part of ICANN, the corporate part of ICANN, that signs the agreement with you. But in terms of arriving at that agreement, in terms of looking at anything that may require accountability and transparency of the community, it has to involve the rest of us. Otherwise, it's just not abiding by the new AOC standards that we are to live by. In the old days, it may have been fine for people to go into the smoke-filled rooms, negotiate in private and then come out and say, take it or leave it, folks. But that is no longer today's ICANN. And to say that that's what you insist on doing and that you don't care what the rest of us have to say because that's what you're going to do is really a almost an AOC, you know, accountability and transparency level problem. And I think that's a serious problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. I've got Margie and then Tim would be next. Margie, go ahead.
This is Margie. I just wanted to make a suggestion to follow up on something that Holly had said on this call and prior calls. Seems like we're getting hung up on the word negotiations. If we change the word to consultation, does that, I mean, you know, and have, you know, a very active, engaged process with the community, does that somehow make it easier for us to come to consensus on a process that would work for both sides? So just throwing it out there as a suggestion.
Thank you, Margie. We'll come back to that. Tim, I think you were next.
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair characterization, Aubrey, of what registrars or what I'm saying here, that, you know, it's whether you like it or not, or that we're trying to be as inclusive as we can be, but not open up our entire agreement to be a consensus policy, because that's really what's being asked here, basically. I mean, that's really what the end result would be. If that was the purpose, there wouldn't be a defined group of areas or issues that are open to consensus policy. There wouldn't be, you know, that description in the agreement. Now, the AOC, we completely support it, but it has, you know, nothing to do with the private negotiations that might go on between two parties under contract. I doubt highly that ICANN is going to invite everyone into the negotiating room when they negotiate contracts or research or other things that go on. ICANN, the corporation, signs agreements, many agreements each year with parties that the negotiations are never made public, no one's invited into the room, and there's really, other than the fact that our agreement has consensus policy issues associated with it that our community, you know, we don't view then the rest of that agreement as any different than the other agreements that ICANN would sign. And because there's concerns that the community has that aren't necessarily subject to consensus policy, but that registrars want to take and consider seriously, we've agreed to this process. We've agreed to a more open process during the negotiations. And I think actually we're making an effort to try to be more open and inclusive as reasonably possible. And as far as Margie's offer to say this is consultations, you know, that's fine as long as there's no expectation that, you know, private negotiations won't go on later between ICANN and registrars.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Holly had her hand up. Did anybody else want to get in the queue? Holly, please go ahead.
Just a couple of things, Tim. There are contracts and there are contracts. The contract that you have with ICANN has very real impacts on the community, unlike most other contracts, which would, in fact, probably not impact to the extent that this particular contract does. So, in fact, there is a large body of genuine interest simply because there is a large possibility and indeed probability for impact on the community, on registrants. So I think I'd like to distinguish between private contracts, which are not impacting on the public, and this particular contract, which does have impacts. The other thing, and it's the point I made in the beginning, I like the word consultation, and I like it because it says there are two parties that actually, when reaching a conclusion, actually have to understand each other's position. It was your last phrase where you said, in the end, you're going to go and negotiate and come to an agreement. I think the point that Avery's making, certainly the point that I'm making, is that it's the final step where you say yes or no. And at that point, it's the final step where the community that's impacted by whether you say yes or no would like to understand why and be able to say, well, is there another way of reaching the same end? It's, if you will, it's basically yes in the end. Nobody is saying that you will not have the ability to say we can't do that. No. That's not what's being discussed here. It is the level of communication that says if something is really going to impact on the community would like to understand why something is or isn't possible and have an opportunity to say, well, actually, we'd like to achieve this end. Let's go through and see how we can do it. If it's not possible, we're doing it something. It's actually either including the community in a dialogue or, in the end, closing that door. And I think it's the closing the door. And I'm not going to put names on it as to whether it's observer or consultation or whatever. It's the closing of the door that says, we're not going to talk to you, where, in fact, I understand there is a closing of the door in a sense that you can't do something and we'll have to say, okay, you can't do it. But we'd like to be part of that decision or at least understand why the decision's made.
Yeah, Holly, you're right. There are two aspects,
Tim,
to an agreement of that nature. And
could you just wait a second because we have somebody else in the queue first.
Yeah, I just want to respond to Holly since it was, you know, addressed to me. But so the one aspect of that is the consensus policy issues that are open to the community fully and completely, and then there's the rest of the agreement that isn't. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And I know the community would love to have the rest of the agreement open, but it's just not. I mean, that's just the reality of where we're at. And, you know, we are actually offering to come back to the community, explain the situation, the reporting or whatever. Now, I don't know if that's going to be, you know, quite in the manner that you talk, you described, because it makes it sound as if you want to sit and negotiate with registrars over those aspects of your agreement, and that's where we begin to have a problem.
Okay, Phil Corwin is in the queue, followed by Holly. Anybody else want to speak? Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And I'm trying to. I perfectly understand that where both sides of this are coming from. Clearly, the RIA has implications beyond the registrars who are contractually bound by it. And yet, if I was, you know, negotiating. I'd be nervous that other people in the room aren't going to be bound by a private contract. It seems to me ICANN really wears two hats here. They're a nonprofit California corporation that's going to possibly enter into a revised contract with these parties they accredit to be middlemen for the sale and transfer of domain names. But they also have a public purpose, which is represented in the AOC and in previous oversight agreements, but it seems to me, you know, thinking about it logically, to the extent that ICANN is representing the community, you know, on things which may not be consensus policy, but which the community still may have opinions on, isn't this RIA report and the process that ensues from it, assuming it results in further discussions with the ICANN community, isn't that kind of giving ICANN a heads up on what the community thinks is important for revisions of the RIA, so that ICANN can be fully informed of community sentiment, even on things which aren't subject to consensus policy, before it goes into that room? And it seems to me if you have that, and if you have a meaningful process by which the community is being advised of where negotiations are on critical issues, I think that gets a long way toward meeting the concerns of people who don't want to see a closed process. I haven't heard the registrars argue for a closed process, and I understand their concern. So I don't know if that's helpful, but it seems to me I can't wear two hats here. They're a private contracting party. They also have to represent the broader viewpoint of the community, and this RIA report can help start a dialogue on key issues so I can know where there is consensus on what type of changes the community is looking for. I hope that's helpful. And my other thought is that, you know, certainly one of the key parts of the RIA, which is the obligation to abide by UDRP decisions and the fact that registrars have to bind registrants to UDRP, it appears that the UDRP may undergo its own PDP, which may change the terms of that. So you've got parallel processes running on one of the key aspects that's carried through in the RAA. So I hope those thoughts are not too disjointed and they're somewhat helpful to thinking about how to proceed in a way which maybe can get to a middle ground on this.
Okay, thank you very much, Phil. We've got Holly and then Mark in the queue. Did anybody else want to speak? Holly, go ahead, and then Mark.
Thank you, Phil. I like two things in what Phil had to say. One was the word dialogue, because that's actually what I've been asking for, and a recognition that, I guess this is my response to Tim, there are aspects of the contract, whether or not they are consensus policies, that impact on the community, on registrants, and the trouble I have with saying, well, some things are just private and some things are the subject of negotiation, I understand the delicacy of that. I understand there's a need to make a business plan, to carry through the business plan, to do all the things that you have to do in order to run a business. But some of those things impact on the public seriously, and what you're hearing is people saying, well, if something is important to the community, then there should be a dialogue. And instead of labelling it as something that is or isn't consensus policy, it's better to view there is a contract that impacts on the public, and to the extent that things do impact on the public, what we're asking for is dialogue.
Thank you, Holly. Mark and then Cheryl.
Well, I think further to what, you know, Phil said, I definitely understand why registrars don't want other parties involved in those negotiations and discussions. I just, you know, don't think it's reasonable for, you know, the same reasons that everyone else has said multiple times, which is that, you know, this agreement has such a significant impact on the entire internet community. It's a foundational document that may be one of the most important documents and the most important, you know, things out there for the, you know, rights and interests of the entire community. And, you know, kind of further what Phil said is, you know, with regard to you know, this document and what comes from this group to kind of guide ICANN in those meetings and negotiations, I don't think that would really be sufficient, because, you know, those negotiations are going to be dynamic like all negotiations are, and to just have, you know, this report or, you know, some other piece of the paper, I don't think is really going to be sufficient. I think that, you know, the fact that the community has such a vested interest in, you know, the result of whatever that final agreement is, you know, means that you know, that community has to be somehow involved in participating in the actual negotiations. You know, otherwise, to just have the meetings occur behind closed doors, you know, there's nothing really to ensure that the community's interests will be properly protected, or that, you know, even some of their interests will be expressed in the discussions as they, you know, change dynamically during the course of whatever happens there.
Thank you, Mark. Cheryl, and then let me ask if anybody else wants to be in the queue. Tim? Okay, Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Cheryl Langdonor here. And being very careful to disassociate my role here in the ongoing workgroup activities and that of being a member of the ATRT, I've just wanted to raise everybody's awareness and attention to the fact that I've put into the chat record section 9.1 from the affirmation of commitments going through from sections A to E. And whilst it's very easy to look at, oh, A is all about the board and ACC, and E is about policy development, and clearly E would have some relevance to our work group activities, there are C, D, and E, C and D in the middle, B, C, and D in the middle as well, and Part D of the five parts of 9.1 and the affirmation of commitments does ask us to continually assess the extent to which ICANN's decisions are embraced, supported and accepted by the public and the internet community. So without prejudice, if we can make sure when we're discussing these very, very important dynamics and the nomenclature in these issues is extremely important, that we constantly think back to the other major activity going on at the moment, which is the very first review of accountability and transparency, ICANN-wide, in whatever form you want to identify it as, a not-for-profit company, you registered in California, or a corporation.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. I've got Tim in the queue. Did anybody else want to speak? Well, let's give Tim the last word and then try to wrap up this discussion. Go ahead, Tim.
I think, you know, it's just that registrars do not want the entire RAA to be a consensus policy document. And so we're very cautious about going down that road, and that's basically where what many of you want is leading. And I have no doubt that you'd like to see that would be what everyone wants. But that is not the situation under which registrars signed on to the RAA, and I think it's a little difficult now to undo that, you know, some 10 years down the road here. So, you know, I don't know where we'll find compromise. I doubt that we will. Registrars thought we were opening up things for more dialogue. We thought this process was a big part of that, offering the iteration, or what I call the iteration proposal that Stanton put out there was a big part of that. So I don't know what else I can say. I think that the bottom line is the group has to recommend what it's going to recommend, and I guess we'll just have to go to the council. I just don't see. Well, there's just no, you know, way that registrars will agree to, you know, allow even observers into the negotiation room. So, yeah, that's kind of the bottom line.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think this has been a good discussion. We've gotten a lot of views out on the table. Let me just give my summary of it, and I don't think the bottom line has really changed from where we were the last time. I think if given the two proposals that are before us, and given the classifications that we're, I think, expected to use, although, as I mentioned, we're not formally a working group, so perhaps we have a little flexibility there. There's obviously not unanimous consensus on any point. I would really hesitate to say that there is a rough consensus where a small minority disagrees but most agree. I mean, in some ways that does describe the situation, but I think there is certainly some diversity of opinion among the majority as well. Not everyone is seeing this exactly the same way, and some aren't even, you know, want to have the participants rather than observers, and others I think are perhaps at the other side of the spectrum, but I don't think there's really rough consensus on any statement. I do think that there is strong support for the proposal that I put forward on April 30th, but there is significant opposition that I think is supportive of basically Staten's red line of that statement, and we all know that the main difference between the two is whether or not there are observers in the negotiations. I think that pretty much summarized the difference as that. So my estimation of this is that there would be strong support for for one version and significant opposition cohering around another version. Now, there have been several people talking about can we find a middle ground here, and I think there was a suggestion that we talk about consultations rather than negotiations. I'm not sure that just changing a word or two here or there is going to make a difference. If I think if there are observers in the room, whether it's called a consultation or a negotiation, that's going to be the crossing the red line that that the registrars have pointed to. And we've had a week to, or actually more than a week. I think both these versions have been out there for close to 2 weeks now, and no middle ground version has emerged. I would agree with the last point that Tim made, which was that our job here is to recommend what we think should be done, but it's obviously not our decision. That decision will be made farther up the line, but I think that the council and others are entitled to our recommendation of what we think would be the best way to proceed. So that's how I would propose to characterize this. And I guess my suggestion would be, if that's acceptable to people, that we have a very limited period on the list where people can submit hopefully a finite number of statements for and hopefully very brief statements. I'm not trying to cut anybody off here, but just I don't think we need to write a full novel about any of these points. I think the differences are fairly clear. My thinking on what I would say about my proposal is that I would put it in just a few sentences. So that we ask people to provide those, and that those be incorporated at this point in the report, but that we put forward both the version that has strong support and the version that has that represents the views of the significant opposition, and with a brief statements of support, and that that be our Section 5. So that's what I would propose, and I'll open the floor to any comments or objections to that way of proceeding. I have Avery's hand. I see Mark, but I think that may have been an earlier version, but if not, Mark can speak. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I guess strong support is good. I would actually argue that while we discuss many things, there really is rough consensus, except for one notable exception, that there be at least observer status in the discussion between the registrars and the operational part of ICANN. And so, I mean, perhaps I'm wrong. I think we may have disagreements over what more than observer status we should have, but that at least there should be observer status. I do believe there's only one point of disagreement with that, and that is the registrar. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Other comments on this? Mark, did you want to speak, or was that an old?
No, that was from before.
That was from before. Sorry about that. Any other comments on this? I mean, to be honest, I'm just trying to I think it's the chair's job to make this call, and I am tempted to say that there's rough consensus and only a small minority, but I think in reality we've only had three or four groups that have participated actively in this, people from three or four groups that have participated actively, and one of those groups clearly does not feel that this is the right way to go. So that's why I'm trying to supported a significant opposition, but I'm certainly open if other people feel that it should be viewed as a rough consensus in favor of observer status. I'd love to hear that from folks now, preferably, or else in the next couple of days on the list. Further comments at this point? Holly, please go ahead.
I think the point I would like to emphasize, it's not so much observer status if all we do is sit and watch. I think the point that I'd like to stress is the need for genuine dialogue. And we didn't arrive at a process where that's possible. But I think that what I was looking for was a genuine two-way conversation, or probably three- or four-way conversation, that recognizes that the contract itself, whether negotiated privately or not, impacts significantly on the community, and that there needs to be dialogue of some kind such that both sides understand both the impact and what should be done about it. And I think that's the point that I would emphasize. Now, I don't necessarily think there's consensus on that, but certainly, quite apart from observer status, which means you kind of sit in your hands and say nothing, I think it's the dialogue that I'd like to stress.
Thank you. That point's very well taken. Other comments at this point? Okay, well then, what I will do is I'll send something out after this call, giving my statement about the strong support and significant opposition, and I'll try in a few sentences to state the strong support position. But I hope people will quickly respond to that if they feel that. There's something missing from that, or if they simply want to have a separate view that they want to express. And I would ask Tim or Staten to please, if you can, just give a few sentences about boiling down, for people who aren't going to listen to the MP3s or read the transcripts, boiling down why the registrars are taking the position that they're taking. And I think that will, if we could succeed in that, we will have discharged our responsibility of making a recommendation and basically explaining why we're doing it and giving both sides. So I think that's how we should proceed on Section 5, unless there are any other thoughts about how to do that. Okay. Let's turn then to the steps to finalize the report. I think we're at the point now where I don't see a need for an additional meeting next week, and I think we can hopefully get this document in final form well in advance of our deadline of the 31st, and I believe that's the deadline, right? May 31st has to be submitted. So I guess I would ask the staff at this point for guidance, any guidance they can offer about how we ought to proceed. Is there anything, is it possible, you think, if we get you, you know, we have 36 hours more for people to find glitches in Sections 1 through 4. On Section 5, we will have these statements out here, and let's say we'll have those out by Wednesday, 48 hours from now. Is there anything else that the staff needs, or being the professionals on putting these reports together, what else, is there anything else you need from us, or can you turn that around and get a final version, if you will, out just so everybody can have a last look at it before we send it in?
Steve, it's Margie. May I comment?
Yes, please.
So I told Sub-Team A to provide their comments by the end of this week. So when I get their comments in, we'll have the final report with content, and I'll also include all the attachments.
Yeah.
We do have the spreadsheet to attach as one of the exhibits, and so I'll try to get the formatting correct and circulate it at the end, probably end of the week. It's probably Monday of next week. So you guys will have a week to kind of look at it, see if you see any typos or things of concern. But we should have next week focused on getting the report, beautiful, ready for publication.
Okay. Does that that sounds fine to me. If we can get it by no later than Monday, then I think people just have a chance to have the last look at it. And I appreciate that the annexes aren't in there, and that may be a bit of a problem because of their formats. But I'm sure you guys will have a way of dealing with it. So All right. Then if we're clear on the deadlines, we please, within 36 hours, let's any glitches. I mean, if you find something later in the week, tell us. But hopefully let's get it done in the next couple of days. And same with the statements on Section 5. I guess I'll just put together what I think is the way Section 5 or Section 5.2 should look, and then we can massage it from there. Okay. The last item that I had on the agenda was to discuss the Brussels preparations, and I think since we last met, there's been a little bit of hubbub about where actually this event would go in the Brussels schedule. We had been talking about Monday, a Monday afternoon event that would be an AC/SO event. Then a draft schedule came out, I guess, a few days ago that had this item on Wednesday afternoon. And I guess that means it's not an AC/SO event, and that could present problems for at least some of our speakers, because I think the law enforcement people perhaps couldn't make it then. It wasn't clear whether anybody from the GAC could make it then. Does anybody on the staff have any further update on where things stand on this?
Yes, Steve, it's Margie. There's been internal discussions about moving back to, not back, but to, from Wednesday to Monday. And it looks like it may replace the malicious conduct section that's later in the afternoon. I don't have the final word on that, but that seems to be the indication from the meeting staff. So absent anything, you know, unusual happening, I think it'll get moved to Monday.
Okay.
And thank you, Cheryl and others, for pushing on your end to get that change.
I was just popping my hand up to say, and that outcome has considerable support in the ACSO list.
Okay. Thank you to all who have helped to generate some motion on that, and thanks for that update, Margie. We'll please keep us advised. And then, of course, after we get our report submitted, I think our next call, should focus on the Brussels preparations and what we intend to do there and so forth. Are there any other agenda items that that people wanted to raise? I apologize again for not having circulated the agenda in advance, but the staff was very quick to put it up here on the Adobe chat room, which I appreciate, after we said it at the beginning of this meeting. But I guess we're now at the any other business, and let me just ask if there is any other business. If not, then I want to thank everybody for their participation. We will not meet next week. We will set a meeting for early in June, and I think if there's no objection, we'll just do a doodle again. And I really appreciate those of you in Australia who've been up very early for the last 4 weeks, and people in Europe who stayed up quite late, pretty late, for the last 4 weeks. And I don't want to assume that we'll necessarily have the same time. So maybe we'll try a doodle again for sometime in the first week of June. In order to get our next meeting going. But let's focus now on getting the report submitted.
Yep.
Okay. I've got to go. I've got the reconvening of my other meeting starting now. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. And if there's no other business, we'll adjourn this meeting as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.